He's 89RN's son. I'm walking over to the station as we talk, and we'll see if we can get him to talk to you.
All right, that sounds real good.
What's your name?
Karen.
Karen? Yeah, did you hear the boy talking?
Yeah, is it Colin?
Colin.
Okay.
Good. All right.
Yes, Colin is six. He's six. He's got a Spider-Man knapsack on, rigged for outdoor activity. His dad's now striding across the field with him, and we've had a big day here in Glen Ellen.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mark, WGAY. Okay, our club is, we're not a very big club. We've got about 35 members continually. And as you heard, our youngest oldest is 9 to 90, and they were both here in attendance today.
You are. This is KWFL.
Okay, very good. And you are in Jefferson, Ohio.
That is correct. Ashtabula County, northeast part of the state of Ohio.
Yes, I can. This is Jeff Hammer in Iraq.
Well, Jeff, you're calling from Iraq. How is field day going there for you?
It's actually going amazingly well. We've talked to a number of stations across Europe, still trying to get that connection back with the U.S., though.
What call sign are you using there, sir?
Yankee India Niner, November India Charlie.
You might want to know, why is it that we talk about Heil microphones so much, or why do I need a Heil microphone? Here's Bob Heil talking about Heil microphones. Let's talk microphones for a second. When you're in a situation like an emergency or disaster field day and you really want to punch through and you want something that's going to just cut through the mustard, so to speak, what's a good microphone to do that?
Well, we're talking about amateur radio. And, of course, the FCC dictates the fact that we'll be about 3 KC's wide, so you don't have a lot of bandwidth. Well, what we do is the microphone for that choice is a microphone that we tailor with an it actually has a labyrinth inside it, Ted. It's an amazing little piece that I designed back in 1982. And this thing tunes 10 dB spike at about 2,500 cycles. I mean, it's just in your face. Not pretty sounding, but it cuts right through, rolls everything off under 600 cycles, everything off of it about 5K, with this great big spike right in the middle of the human voice, where we need to know, what did you say, an F or an S, a P or a B, to get that articulation. Because when we're out in the emergencies, or with we're just running a contest with a lot of noise and there's a lot of stations, that guy's going to be heard first because all of his power is going to be right where the human ear wants to hear those important syllables. And that's what we've done for this industry, is create microphones that do that. We also have, of course, as you well know, microphones that work on the performance level. But for ham radio, it's a whole different ballgame because we're only dealing with 2.5 to 3 KC wide bandwidth that the FCC will dictate to us. But the important thing is to get articulation through, and then we build that in microphones that you can hold in your hand, or we build it in headsets that you can wear and have hands-free, that kind of thing.
Well, now, of all the Heil models, which one is the most optimum for that sort of thing? Which one would you, if you were going to pick one today to operate field day, what would you pick?
Well, we build a number of things. That element is called an HC4, a Heil cartridge 4. That's got that big spike in it. And that HC4 we build in a headset, our ProSet 4. We build it in a microphone, which is the HM10 that has both elements in it, both that HC4 and the HC5, which is a real smooth reg-2 type thing. And we have it in our Goldmine, the GM4. And all of those products have the HC4 for ultimate communications. And then they have another element that you can switch in for when you're just talking to your buddies and you don't need all that that spike and that articulate sound to cut through noise and things. But we make the HC4 into a lot of different products because we make various headsets and microphones, and the HC4 is the one to do that with.
Of all the Heil mics, which ones do you find the HC4 cartridge in?
Well, we have the HM10, our Goldmine GM4. Those are both microphones. In fact, the GM4 looks like our PR20 that you see on the stages, but it has a push-to-talk switch in it, and it has both of these elements. It has the wideband element and the HC4. Then we also have the Handy Mic. And the Handy Mic 4, it's only 4 inches long that has this element in it, and that's what we use for a hand mic. It's just wonderful for communications for ham radio.
Before you make your next selection for a microphone for your new ham rig or your old ham rig, remember Heil Sound. That's heilsound.com. Or you can find them on our website at tedrandall, tedrandall.com. And remember, Heil is spelled H-E-I-L. That's H-E-I-L, heilsound.com. We've got something special for you. TW Antennas, your DX adventure, has got a special going on right now. You can now save on shipping when you buy the complete TW 2010 Traveler Antenna Combo. Now, the complete package includes the TW 2010 antenna, the quadruped, and the deluxe transport bag. You have to see this. Go to the website and check this out. It's a complete package plus $50 savings on shipping. The complete package is $549.85. That's $549.85. But check it out on the website. Go and look at twantennas.com. And if you can't find that, go to our website. And that's tedrandall.com, T-E-D-R-A-N-D-A-L-L.com. For the QSO radio program, and check out the TW Antenna Special right now on QSO. Okay, our special guest is Emery McClendon, KB9IBW, and he is the father of Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, known as ARMAD, and we've been just talking about all kinds of exciting things, that the possibilities are endless. Emery, you were telling me about a group that operated on a 9/11 ARMAD or thereabouts, and they were operating in New York right at Ground Zero. Tell me a little bit about this group.
Yeah, I was in contact with those guys, and we've sent emails, and we've sent I've talked to them, some of the operators on Echo Link, and also I couldn't get a hold of them on HF because we couldn't make contact that day. But we did talk on Echo Link. We've emailed each other, and they were very interested in having us work with them during their events. And also, one of the other guys that was out in Texas somewhere, who was actually the one that coordinated all of the 9/11 community service activities after the event happened, he now lives out in Texas. He's emailed us, and he says, hey, I'll be happy to work with you guys and do things, too, because he holds a national 9/11 event every year since 9/11 also. We just recently started, I think about 3 years ago, doing a 9/11 event here, and we're trying to get other amateur operators around the country to do the same thing. And we basically have been doing it in concert with America Supports You, because they do those nationwide freedom walks, and that would be a great venue for amateur radio to get with those groups and set up a special event station. So, yeah, those groups are very, very interested in being able to get ham radio going worldwide at the most and nationwide at the least. So that we can promote a ham radio during 9/11.
You know, not to jump the gun in a different direction, but we were talking earlier, and you mentioned ships, and when we were talking, I think, you know, a day or so ago, you mentioned that there were some ships participating in ARMAD. Can you tell me a little bit about those guys?
Yeah, I can't think of the names of them right now because I don't have the logs in front of me, but there were several ships that called in during our ARMAD events, and they said, hey, we're happy you guys are out here, and we're a bunch of sailors, and we're on the ship, and so forth. And we just want to let you know that we appreciate amateur radio doing this for us, and they were very happy to be involved. Said anything they can do in the future, all we have to do is get the word out and let them know that we're going to be doing further events, and they will be happy to be in there with us to help make the event a success. And there was also some museum ships. And several of those guys were listed on the ARR special event websites. They worked in concert with us over the last couple of years, too. And I can't think of the name of those ships either, you know, from being tired and so forth. But
it's a
lot of those museum ships are working with us and do work with us, and we work with them. It's a reciprocal thing. In order for us to be able to promote amateur radio, in order for us to be able to get the public involved, we're going to have to work with each other. We're going to have to work with other groups, and we're going to have to promote this thing from basically the inside out and the outside in order to continue to promote amateur radio and also provide a great public service that will be something that the public would be very interested in and see that we mean business. And that we can get, like you said, sponsors, that we can get the manufacturers, people on the outside involved and say, hey, this is a great project because it actually lets our soldiers, our veterans, our families, our readiness groups, military support groups, all of us work in concert one with another.
Well, that's you're saying you couldn't remember all the names, but that's a lot to remember. I mean, you've got you've got a database in your head, Emery. You've written all these emails to all these people, and you know, you said you had interest from the Golden Corral restaurant chain, that they were very interested in this situation. Talk a little bit about that. Tell me about Golden Corral.
Yeah, every year, too, for the past 4 years, we've worked with Golden Corral. They have a military appreciation day, and they do that on the Monday. It's either the Monday before or the Monday after. I can't think of that right now either. But a lot of the ham operators who are listening to this will know because they've been involved. And we use the Echolink heavily on that day through the Washington, D.C. Echolink server. And also through the 9025 IRLP link, because that way we can actually put the radios on the inside of the Golden Corrals and be able to communicate and have some of the veterans and the soldiers and so forth come on the air and talk. But, Golden Corral, they are very military-oriented and supportive. And when they found out about amateur radio, we started it here in Fort Wayne. But over the years, we've had Golden Corrals in Carolina, in Georgia, Kentucky, Ohio, Michigan, and some of the other states around the country with amateur radio clubs going inside and contacting them and saying, hey, we'll be willing to do an RMAT event in the Golden Corrals during your event. And it's worked out very well. So that's another avenue of opportunity. During Veterans Day and on that Golden Corral Military Appreciation Day.
Now, have you ever eaten at a Golden Corral?
Yes, I have. That's how I got to know the general manager and some of the managers. And they used to ask me questions about my hat and about my shirts and so forth. What does that mean? When I told them, then lo and behold, one of the general managers was a ham operator himself. But he was inactive, and he says, I still hold my license and so forth, but it would be great. Would you guys be willing to come out here and do an event such as that? And that's how it all got started.
I'll tell you what, that's a good place to eat, but nowhere to go if you're on a diet.
That's right. And it's really good because there are other groups that are working with that, such as the DAV, the American Legion, some of the other veterans groups. And, by the way, we never did mention the website. It's armad.net, ARMAD.net, just so we can throw that in. And then people can go and look at that and find out if it's something that they want to really be involved in and how they can get in. But there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of public service that we can do in that field because right now we know our troops are going to be there for a while. We know that this is something that is very near and dear to the heart of their families, to other Americans, and regardless of what your political viewpoint is, we are there to support our soldiers. We are there to promote ham radio, and that's what our purpose is. And they need our support. They need to know that we care. They need to know the people at home care. And one of the best ways that they can find out about that is through amateur radio, either live, through informal messages, formal messages, through Mars messages, and any way that we can help them know that through amateur radio.
Now I'll have a link up on our website to your RMAD site, so folks who go up there will be able to find you real easy if they can't remember RMAD. And the first time I heard RMAD, I'm dyslexic, so I had the letters turned around and I couldn't find it on the internet. and Dave Wilson, a friend of mine. KU4B, you know, he was up on Google trying to find it, and we were coming up with all kinds of strange things. So it is RMAD, and Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, and it's RMAD.net. But once again, we'll put the link up there. That way folks will be able to find it relatively easy. In all the groups and things that you were, the people that you've contacted, I think one of the things that was most impressive was the fact that you got an extreme positive response out of the folks from General Motors. And I want you to tell the listeners and also the other amateur radio clubs about GM's involvement in it and our club down in Huntsville and their involvement in ARMAD. Tell us a little bit about that story, because that's really amazing.
Yeah, through our involvement with Alice Wax of National Military Appreciation Month, the lady that started all that, and she got all the proclamations and so forth from Congress and through our presidents and all that, she was talking one day on the phone to the people at General Motors because they wanted to help somehow or another get the legislation through to get National Military Appreciation Month during the month of May recognized. And she told them, hey, they wanted to know if there's any significant events that could help them get a link on or get a handle on what's going on through National Military Appreciation Month. And the first thing that she said was, yeah, ARMAD, Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day. And lo and behold, the guy that she was talking to was the executive vice president of marketing and communications out of Lansing, Michigan. And he said, hey, I know a little bit about amateur radio because when I was in the military, we sent Mars, Grams, and so forth, and they were so helpful, and it meant so much. So he says, can I get a hold of this guy and maybe ask some questions? So he called me, and I was shocked. And the executive vice president of General Motors, I was at work again. He called me on my cell phone. He says, what can we do to help you guys get off, you know, the ground? And at the time, I didn't know what to do. I was scared because I didn't want to ask for too much, and I didn't want to ask for not enough because I really didn't know if it was a joke or if he really was serious or if I should be serious. So I downplayed it and said, hey, what we need to do is we need to get some place to have ARMAD around the country. I said we would like to get some vehicles, maybe to placard them up for ham radio and let people know what ham radio is all about, put ARMAD placards on them and stuff like that. He says, you got it. And I went, oh, my God. And so what happened was he said, you find any of your ham radio clubs, if they want to operate out of a dealership or if they want to operate out of, you know, like near a plant or whatever for General Motors, they will be free to do so. All they have to do is get a hold of the dealership. The dealership will then let them know what my name is. They send me an email, and we'll authorize it. And then he went a step further. He got the dealership here in Fort Wayne to give us some vehicles to drive. And we placarded them up for ham radio and drove them around, and we had them out there. We had some General Motors vehicles out there at our event so that people could look at them. And it was really a strong commitment. And not only that, but they also pledged commercials. They did commercials and all that for National Military Appreciation Month. And as a result of that, ARMAD got some play from that. And they ran for the girl that was out of California. Her name was Shauna, who did the letters to the troops and all that. They actually made commercials with her in those commercials, and you probably saw some of those on national television. They ran them on during the news breaks on ABC, CBS, and NBC. And lo and behold, after all this was said and done, when I got to talk to them again, they said, "Hey, if I would have asked for that, we would have done that for amateur radio." But like I said, I was afraid and didn't know what to do, and whether or not this was really something that we should ask for. I didn't know what the FCC rules really were on, you know, on the amateur radio. I didn't have time to look up Part 95 or whatever to find out if we could do that. But lo and behold, like he said, if I had asked for it, we would have got it. We would have had national publicity. So we learned the lesson from that one. But General Motors was very, very cooperative. And even now, down in Huntsville, Alabama, at the Redstone Arsenal, there's an amateur radio club down there. And for the past 2 years, General Motors has put up a tent for them, a big, huge circus tent. They've given them a barbecue. They've had food. They had people come out and look at cars and invite them over to the tent. They've had a nice little crowd. They've had some other things in conjunction with that, and they've had a real nice ARMAD event there. And then there's been a couple other locations around the country also that have ran their ARMADs out of General Motors locations around the country. So there's a possibility there, too, for amateur radio clubs to even make that work better and bigger around the country.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, folks, there you go. You can see that the business world is willing to respond. You know, we can get support for this thing. We need the club's participation, though. We need each and every individual amateur radio club. And if you do field day, you should be doing an RMAD. And we're talking right now, Emery and I have discussed this, we're talking about the possibility of doing something on 9/11. And that gives us time to plan. That gives us time to get our act together and to put all this together. We in working through the American Radio Relay League and other amateur radio constituents, facilities, different people that are involved in it, we can all pull together and make this a real, real special thing. And also, it'd be really nice in the process of all of this if we can get some support from individual amateurs, from clubs, and from manufacturers, and from retail outlets that sell ham equipment. We need to get some stuff together for our guys over there in Iraq. Now, if you're listening right now and you've got a spare linear amplifier in good shape, give us a call. We'll get you the address. Let's get this thing shipped over there to them. If you've got good, and we don't want to give them a bunch of boat anchors because they don't have room for that over there, and we're dealing with a bunch of young men. Now tell me a little bit. I don't want to wear you out, Emery. I know you worked all day long and you're tired and everything, but tell us a little bit about the stories you've heard about folks that are deployed over there, and what it's like trying to set up an amateur station.
Yeah, they're saying that it's really tough, and a lot of those guys are packing up some of their own equipment. It may get damaged in shipment. If they got to worry about if, you know, they're very inexperienced about what to expect when they get there, so they don't pack it right. They get sand damage, wind damage, heat damage. They need fans and stuff like that, extra fans to run on their equipment. They're very tickled to death that they're able to do this, but they just cannot. With their weight limitations as far as what they can carry, a lot of them have only been able to carry like these very small radios. Some of them have only been able to carry 2-meter rigs, and some of the luckier ones have had like the ICOM 706 or the Kenwood or the Elinco, you know, radios that are smaller that they can get over there. But those radios won't stand up to the conditions and the heat and so forth that they go through unless they're in an air conditioning building. So they would like to have better equipment. And also, like you said, having the antennas, a linear amplifier would increase the odds that they are able to get out because of the propagation differences between the time of day. I know when we ran our first RMAD, we ran all day. We ran a 10-hour RMAD. We ran from, I think we started like about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we went to about 6 o'clock that night. But the time difference was still phenomenal. And by the time that we got around to talking to Iraq and Kuwait and all that, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning over there, where it was afternoon here. So you got to plan these events and stuff around times when they can be available. They've got to have the right propagation on HF to be able to do it. They've got to have the right equipment to be able to do it. And we also used Echolink, we used IRLP, and we used Packet and some other means to do so. But it's very nice to be able to show the original HF propagation to the public also, to let them know that this is what we can do. And we don't want to be embarrassed or do anything that's going to embarrass amateur radio. So that's why, like you said, we need to get behind this and get those guys some equipment, especially in that area in the Middle East, because that's where the focus of attention is. So it's nice to be able to talk to one another here in the country. It's nice to be able to have RMAD stations set up at American Legions, and some of them are, at Coast Guard stations, at military bases here. But when people can actually hear those guys' voices over there in the war zone or in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, Japan, Okinawa, some of the places where our troops are deployed, at the medical hospital facilities up in Germany, a lot of those guys are listening in on shortwave radios at the RMAD events, but they want to be involved too. I've gotten emails from them. Also, the Walter Reed Medical Centers, the big center out in Texas, the medical centers, and the ones up in California at the San Diego, those, I've gotten emails from them. Hey, how can we need to get something up here and get some ham radio clubs involved with us. There's lots of military bases out there in California that if the clubs could get involved with those military bases, put some RMADs in some VA hospitals or some of the military hospitals, those injured guys, they need our support too, just like the people out there on the battlefield.
Well, very good. That's That's really exciting. I think, man, we've just we've covered an awful lot of territory. The one thing I did want to ask you about, though, you mentioned that that your son. Tell us a little bit about your son. He's an active amateur radio operator. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's an active amateur radio operator, and he's been involved with RMAD since its inception. He thought it was a very good idea. He's a college student at Indiana University here at the Extension in Fort Wayne, and when he got involved in amateur radio, he began to give a lot of his speeches in his communications courses and some of his other courses about ham radio. And he got a lot of interest in some of the young people, and they're saying, hey, we never even knew this existed. So by him being a radio operator and doing these events live, he's been able to bring us a lot of attention, too, from the college campuses. Because of that, the communications director contacted us and said, hey, whatever we can do, we'll put you in our school newspaper and do some other things to help promote RMAD. So that was another thing that having a younger person and a son that went to the university, he was able to open that door. So there's lots of opportunities to do that. And he, in turn, like I said, secretly sent my name in, and well, RMAD's name in, and of course my name in for the award there at Dayton, Ohio, and lo and behold, it worked out. And it was really quite an experience to know that young people, they have a lot of people that they look up to, but a lot of times they don't look up to their parents enough where they would do something like that. And that was one of the things that the president and the vice president and the communications director brought out at Dayton Ham Fest. But it was very, very nice to know that a young person had that much respect and that much dignity for the hobby and also for his dad to do something like that. And it really moved me, too, and it made me want to do more to help young people get into the hobby because you never know what kind of doors they can open up to help this hobby grow also. And by the way, RMAD does have a call sign. We've got an official FCC call sign. It's KC9HAJ, Kilo Charlie 9 Hotel Alpha Juliet. And I wanted to throw that in also.
Well, very good. You know, once again, this is something that we've all got to pull together on. And if you've listened to this whole broadcast so far, if you're like I am, you're itching right now thinking, how can we do this? How can we put all this together? And being able to broadcast it at the same time on shortwave and be able to cover it with a shortwave station would be phenomenal. And I believe we can do all of that. I think we can use this program to unite the ham community and get everybody together on this. And so they can tune in and listen firsthand and hear you talk and to hear what we're trying to accomplish here. Once again, our guest, Emery McClendon, KB9IBW. And he is the father of RMAD, the Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day. And this is an invitation to all clubs and all hams across the country and around the world to get involved in this fantastic event. We're tentatively going to talk about setting up a specific time, and it could be on 9/11. We'll be in constant contact with Emery. We'll have him checking in with us each week as we go along. See if we can't. We'll plan all this out. We'll work with Alan Pitts, obviously, at the American Radio Relay League, to bring this about and make this happen, and we'll just see how far we can go with it. And I think we can plan it for this year, we can plan it again for next year, and make this into a real good public service event. Because what's going to happen with this is you've got the entire general public that can get involved and become part of it and learn about ham radio. You got ham radio taking ham radio to the streets and around the world. Before I let you go, I just want you to once again give out the website. If you've got any final thoughts, anything you want to add to this, Emery, this is the time to do it. Let us know what you're thinking about.
So what I'm basically thinking about is that RMAD, even though it was started here in Fort Wayne, it was a group of amateur operators that got together, and we're doing this to promote the hobby. It's not a KB9IBW event. I'd be more than happy to say, hey, somebody wants to take this over and make it better or whatever, you go right ahead, because we're doing it for amateur radio, for our soldiers, for our troops, for our veterans. And the second thing that I wanted to say is that our website is armad.net, ARMAD.net, and we're doing this as a public service. We're doing it to to try to grow and continue to grow amateur radio. We're doing this to, again, to be a public service. And I just like to say that there's a lot of people out there that are interested in this. All we have to do is get the amateur radio operators behind this, and I'd like to see this event really be an event that would really make us proud to be amateur radio operators.
Well, I think this is a good thing. I think that it could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of helpful promotion. It could really give our troops a shot of adrenaline. They can feel the appreciation from not just us as hams, but also from the general public all the way around. It's a win-win situation. And this is an excellent event, especially, too. The other thing that clubs have a problem with is if they're going to do any promotion in their area, they depend heavily on field day. And, of course, field day is a contest. So you still have some divided attention there because guys are they're out there setting up and pulling antennas up in trees. They're up all night long, and they work really hard putting the generators together and pitching the tents and all the other things that go along with it, along with a very fine cuisine that's served at field day, which we had a lot of discussion about that this year. And we decided that that pigs are in danger on field day because there's a lot of barbecue going out there. And you mentioned a pig roast earlier, and I thought, oh, boy, those poor pigs. Anyhow, there's a lot going on around field day, which makes it's an exciting event. But sometimes it doesn't provide us the time we need to actually interface the general public and to interface the press. This event, which is not a contest, doesn't require emergency power, and even though we're on location, out in the public eye, it also provides us the freedom to entertain the press and entertain the public and to really show our appreciation for the troops. Are you not thinking that that's the way it is?
Yes, it is, and believe me, like I said, our news people this year and all the previous years, when they came out, they said, okay, we're going to come out and do a quick blurb and whatever, but they got so involved in seeing what was going on, seeing the enthusiasm in the public, hearing the QSOs, they stayed out during the whole event. This year we ran the event for 3 hours. In the past we've ran it anywhere from 3 to 5 to 8, and we started off, like I said, for a 10-hour event. We'd be willing, our ham operators around the country are willing to work this event as long as it takes to run, to make it a successful event. We'll run it from 1 hour all the way up to whatever it takes. And the media is very excited about that, and they see the enthusiasm in our operators, and they basically stay out there, and they just take more and more and more film footage, more and more and more audio footage, and then they comment back. Matter of fact, this year I was able to meet the program director of our local ABC affiliate station here, and for the first time this year they also had us come out, and they had us on live on the noon news to talk up RMAD. And that was really something that helped us out quite a bit this year. So they are out there, and they really want to know more about what we're doing. And they said, hey, in the future, we want to do more and more. We want to work with you because you guys are providing a public service. And I want to let all the clubs know around the country, take this opportunity and ride on it, because these people are out there for us. They're out there to help us, and they want to help us. So an event like this gives us a opportunity to not only help the public, to not only help ham radio, but to show our troops, to show our veterans, to show their families that people do care, and that amateur radio provides a service that can really let them know that they're appreciated, and that they can also get something out of this where they can become ham operators, the ones that aren't. Their families can know a little bit more about ham radio, and the public can know more about ham radio.
Amory McClendon, he's been our guest. We've talked all about RMAD. His call sign is KB9IBW. And RMAD stands for Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day. Now, we're going to stay in touch, Amory, and we're going to see how far we can go with this. And we'll be working with Alan Pitts. And, of course, folks need to contact you for ideas and for things that they may want to do. But maybe what we can do is figure out a way to do an event on 9/11. And get everyone together and have a fantastic RMAD on 9/11. Thank you so much for being on board with us, and I want to thank you for all that you've done so far. This is fantastic. It really is. It's quite amazing. And what's funny is the fact that I can tell from talking to you, this is in its infancy. This thing is just now beginning to take off and breathe on its own. And where it can lead, like I said, the sky is the limit. Thank you so much for being on board with me.
Thank you, and thanks for having us. And we hope this can be an event that can really make us amateurs proud.
And now let's go back to Field Day 2008 of some 2 weeks ago and listen to some more of these check-ins that you've all wanted us to play on the radio.
Watching for storms, chasing storms. Okay, we've got somebody else with us here, and we're just gonna find out who this is. Hello.
Oh, hi, Ted. This is Gary Wilson, K2GW, from New Jersey. I'm the section emergency coordinator for Southern New Jersey, and we spoke on email yesterday.
Yes, sir. That's right. We did. We were up late last night, and I was still getting some emails in, and I was replying to them as best I could. But tell us where you're set up, and tell us about your setup, and how it's all going over there.
Well, as a section emergency coordinator, I get to visit a bunch of them, so I get to see a whole bunch of hams.
That's right.
A lot of fun.
Wrong question for a section emergency coordinator. And I keep laughing and telling everybody, my brain is running on QRP. We were up all night last night, so you said who you are, and here I am in the other mug.
Oh,
well, tell us about all the multiple locations that you've been able to see and visit and talk to today.
Well, I get out to, basically, I cover the northern half of the section for our section manager, and she covers the bottom half. But I was out to W2ZQ, which is the Delaware Valley Radio Association. They're set up in Mercer County Park, and they have a great setup with lots of masts and all ready to go in full emergency-type mode. So very, very good to see them. And I'm about to head over to N2RE, the Sarnoff Radio Club, which is the old RCA Laboratories in Princeton. And they have a lot of fun. They do something very unusual. They run like seven Echo or something, whatever it is, seven Bravo, where they all run all QRP off of batteries. And they generally win that category because they're the only one in the country. But they have a lot of fun doing it. And so it's just great to see everybody getting out and practicing some emergency skills and having fun. And I was amazed yesterday to find out that there are over 1,500 of these places for the public to go out and visit this weekend. There's a new locator on the ARRL website. I did some analysis there.
Well, that locator is really a godsend. I mean, you go up there and put in a zip code or a city or something, and I mean, it tells you everywhere. And I know I was talking to a television station, and they. The fellow is looking it up, and he says, "Oh my gosh, there's about five different operations going on within a mile of my hometown or where I grew up." And he was really impressed with that.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, in our area, well, New Jersey's two sections, but in New Jersey, and we're a reasonably small state, we have 34 of them operating, and that's absolutely amazing for the third smallest state in the country. You know?
So it's. What is the, I guess I want to say, what is the most unusual thing that you've seen at Field Day that's going on that you've observed, the most, well, something that would be really interesting to tell folks about?
Well, some of the more interesting ones are just some of the food at some of the places. I mean, some places, you know, this is the picnic for the guys. And the one place I go to, they accuse me of only showing up for dinner there because they have a guy who runs a restaurant. So he's a ham, and he makes sure it gets catered. And they always have lasagna and everything. The other ones is the guys over at the Sarnoff Club have a very unusual thing. Now, you remember, they're running all QRP, 5 watts or less, and they only have a generator there to charge the batteries. But they work very closely with the Red Cross, and the Red Cross provides them with this humongous generator, which is more than they ever need, because the Red Cross likes them to practice, you know, give it some use. Like all good equipment, you got to use it regularly to keep it working. So what they use the generator for is for heating their waffle iron on Sunday morning. They make Belgian waffles in the field.
Well, I was talking to Alan Pitts, and we were discussing Field Day, and the food came up in the discussion, and I said to Alan, I said, this is your opportunity to get, you know, a level above the Hamfest hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of it is incredible. The other ones are some of the guys, you know, solar panels and folding solar panels and operating that way, little portable beams for 6 meters. But the guys I like to concentrate on are the ones who actually have, you know, antennas that we could really use as part of go kits and limit themselves to things they can set up in less than an hour. And that's a very important emergency skill. You know, you see some of the pictures of the guys putting up big tri-banders and everything like that. But the guys who use this as a way of testing out their go kits impress me, because obviously that's my interest as an emergency coordinator.
Now, you know, that's one thing about, you know, right after a tornado or something very, very devastating, the ability to immediately respond and to set up an antenna. You know, just to be able to go into an area where there isn't anything and get something launched in the air that that's going to work. It's a skill. So without any practice, it's you know, it take a little bit of doing. But these guys get so good at it that it's scary.
Yeah, yeah. And the way, you know, so many people get practice, and so many clubs have their own generators for, you know, mostly for field day, but it's just a godsend when a real disaster occurs that they've got the ability to create power.
Well, I was talking to, is it W2HO is the, I think, the club call sign, and I can't remember. I think they're in, I'm trying to think, are they in Orange County, New York? Maybe not. Maybe this, I've got them confused, but anyways, they were the ones tuning up the flagpole on 40 meters. We had on a little while ago. So that was so if you can find a flagpole standing, you can get on the air. Well, tell me, you started to say something. I interrupted you, so continue what you were about to say.
Oh, the other thing that was interesting was the guys who, you know, we talk about sending messages, and everybody thinks of sometimes ham radio is a little old-fashioned. The guys who had the laptop computer, and they have the little, you know, the Kenwood HT, the one that has the TNC built in, so they can hook their computer up to it. You know, you get points for sending National Traffic System messages. You know, there's a special skill for that. Well, they have them all preloaded as a file, and they just push the button, and that little radio is taking the stuff from the computer, sending it out to a packet bulletin board where it goes into the national traffic system. And they're sending 14 messages in about 7 minutes.
Wow. Well, we just had Captain Jeff Hammer call from Iraq, and they're a little north of Baghdad. And they were going to attempt running packet into here to see if we couldn't, if they couldn't hook up with the States today. And also, you may want to say hello. We got Dr. Barrett with us. Dr. Barrett is a specialist in portable antennas because he owns the TW Antenna Company.
Oh, great.
And we were just talking about being able to set up and tear down. Just say hello to him and converse just a moment or two here.
Sure, sure. That sounds great. Well, maybe you can tell me a little bit about your antennas. Anything that we can quickly deploy is a godsend in an emergency.
Well, what we have right now is the TW2010, which is a, you know, goes 10, 12, 15, 17, and 20 meters. It's about 6 foot, 10 inches tall. It folds up. You can put it in its own carrying bag. It'll go in the trunk of your car. It'll go in. You can send it through the airplane. I took one to Yellowstone Park a few weeks ago, and it's. I will certify to you, and have a witness here sitting in the room with me, that you can put it up and take it down in a snowstorm in about 3 to 5 minutes. And I worked 38 states in about 2 hours on 17 meter when the solar flux, Ted, was the lowest that the ARRL had been keeping records on. It was about a 64. But that would be of some benefit to you. Also, I found out, I'll pitch this, he's listening, but I found out while I was in Orlando last week that the thing is flat on 2 meter FM and sideband, and it's also, the SWR is flat on 70 centimeter sideband and FM, so you could you don't have to have one antenna. We didn't sell it that way, but it just worked out that way. We've got the 8020 coming out, which is probably more interesting to him, the smaller version, which would let him be on the air in about 5 minutes on 80, 60, 40, 30, and 20 meters. So watch the website up there. It's www.twantennas.com, and maybe in about another 30 days, that 8020 might pique your interest. They're probably not doing a lot of DXing there at the emergency center, but that 8020 might be something they're interested in, Ted.
Sure. Well, that's very important. Actually, I, I've The antennas are probably of most use, I guess, in emergency communications. 90% of our stuff tends to be 2-meter FM because that's what everybody has, short distance. But for long distance, you see a lot of, at least in New Jersey, we do a lot of NVIS stuff on 75 meters and some 40 meters. And so people have improvised in some interesting antennas, crossed inverted Vs for folks to do some of that. So that's great. Hey, and I do want to say, Ted, one thing is I want all the hams to appreciate, to understand they really are appreciated. Here in New Jersey, the state just put in a grant and just received money to fund 24 shelter trailers. These are trailers, not that anybody would sleep in, but they would be filled with cots so you could open 24 shelters in the event of a big emergency. Not so much in New Jersey, but we would be often possibly receiving people from New York City or Philadelphia. The Red Cross went to bat with us when they were equipping these trailers, and each of those trailers is going to have an amateur radio kit for 2 meters, 440, 220 antennas, feed lines, and a little Honda generator. And I just thought that was amazing because of the record of the folks here in New Jersey of how they've helped out in 9/11 and the blackouts and blizzards and everything like that, that amateur radio is really taken seriously by the emergency management folks. And it's things like field day where people get to practice those skills so that when real things come along, they're ready. So I just want to say hello to everybody and have fun and be safe, over.
And, you know, one thing I want to have you do, and that is you were talking about hams being appreciated. I think this field day is a chance where ham radio really gets a chance to shine and be the bright light, I guess I'm going to say, because the public has a chance to interface us in a non-emergency situation. So we do have the fun involved in that. And would you say, now let me ask this. How many groups right now, how many field day groups are within your jurisdiction at this point in time across New Jersey?
Well, it always gets a little confusing in the statistics, but I would say in southern, we have two sections in New Jersey. It's a very unusual state that we actually have two sections. Within the state as a whole, we've got 34. Within southern New Jersey, I would say we've got about 14 of those. It's the northern half of the state is more really populated, and there's about 20 up there. So, but my counterpart up north, who is Steve Ostro recently, and just replaced by George Sablin, we're kind of joined at the hip, so we do things on a statewide basis. And there is one other interesting thing about New Jersey, as most people don't realize, is that we are the head of disaster services for the Red Cross in New Jersey is K2URT, and the head of the communications section for the Office of Emergency Management and the New Jersey State Police is N2HX. And in New Jersey, a county's emergency plan cannot be approved unless it has a fully functioning RACES and ham radio section in there as an annex. And they require monthly participation from each of the county EOCs and Red Cross chapters each month. And so as a result, we've got permanent stations in every one of those EOCs, and they get tested on a monthly basis. So the folks know us, and our guys always are volunteering to show up and make sure those things are working.
Well, I thank you so much for calling in. And if you're going to be out and about this evening, be sure and call back, because that's that'll be a whole different time frame. We're reaching into different parts of the world at that hour. And folks would love to hear from you then. And I really appreciate you calling in. And you have a good field day too, sir.
Okay, you take care, Ted. And once again, thanks for helping to publicize what a great hobby and public service folks are doing here.
Well, the hobby's been extremely good to me. So this is no thank you needed, believe me. Thank you for calling.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. We've got folks basically all over the country and all over the world that are participating.
You go from Iraq to the Garden State, Ted. I mean, you've got them all calling you today.
So, and I guess Matt's got somebody else there that will be joining us very, very shortly. When we were talking earlier about being able to deploy an antenna quickly in an emergency, being able to get on the air, quickly. you don't think about that, but man, you know, you don't have a lot of. Sometimes you don't have a lot of time. You know, in some sort of a specific situation you could get into, you need to get moving quick. All right, are we? We have a caller now. You know, he nods his head, but he won't let me know for sure what's going on here. All right. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Ted?
Pretty good. Is this Christine?
This is Christine, K1SFA.
And you're calling from Newington, Connecticut.
From Newington, Connecticut at W1AW.
My goodness.
Yes.
Now, how do we rate that? How do we get... You know, this is the top dog radio station of the whole world, so how do we rate you calling us like this?
Well, you know, there was a great story written on the ARRL website about you guys. Hey, I wrote it. Thought we'd call in and just say hi.
Well, very, very good. So what's going on at W1AW right now?
Let's see. We've got some RIDI going on, some CW and some phone, and having a good time.
What is the normal operation, I mean, for W1AW during field day? How many folks do you get a big crowd there, or how many operators do you have,
well,
and how many folks?
This year it's kind of small. We're running 3 Foxtrot. Last year we had a big party here kind of thing and had a lot of people, but this year it's a little bit more intimate.
I was just curious because I would think that being what it is, that you folks would be... You'd be swamped with operators. It'd be people.
Anyone is certainly welcome to come and operate here. That's especially with this new field day locator service that the league has put up. We're registered on it, and anyone is welcome to stop by. And they're welcome, you know, just come on in and get on the air.
Well, tell me a little bit about your position with the league. What do you do with the air?
I'm the news editor.
And
I do all the news that's on the website. I do the ARRL letter that goes out to about 70,000 members a week. And I do the ARRL audio news as well.
Well, very, very good. You know, I would like to encourage folks that are listening right now to this broadcast to join the league. If you're a ham and you're not a member, this is something that, no, I don't think people even realize, and in talking with Alan Pitts on a pretty regular basis, you know, I never dreamed the league was involved with so many different things and was such a champion to the hobby in areas that nobody even knows about sometimes.
It's amazing. I learn something new every day.
And I've got Dr. Barrett here with me, and he was just getting ready to say something. Go ahead.
Hey, Christine, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Listen, we worked, we had a call-in from 3 American heroes, soldiers over in Iraq, a little north of Baghdad, in a sandstorm, and they're on 14.070 megahertz, about 400 hertz, working PSK-31, and they're sending out CQUSA, so if you guys have anybody anywhere at W1AW or anybody you send out bulletins to, those guys, there's Captain Hammer and 2 non-hams that he's got on, get on the air station there, Ted. But they'd really like to work some folks stateside on PSK-31. They didn't think they could do it on phone or CW, Christine. But
well, it sounds like you just put the word out, so we'll go with that. I don't know if we can... if we can do that in our bulletins or not, but I think you just put it out yourself.
Very good. Well, I know they would appreciate that. And, hey, we appreciate the ARRL. You guys are on the ball doing a good job, and I know you get a lot of complaining, but when you get some complaints from folks out in the field, you know you're doing something. So you guys defend the frequency, you promote our interest, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I was going to say that to me, you know, ever since I was, you know, I grew up reading ARRL publications. I mean, there's nothing like the American Radio Relay League Amateur Radio Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into commercial broadcast radio, the funny thing about it all is almost every broadcast station in the country where there's a full-time engineer, you look on the bookshelf and you will find
that book.
They'll have a copy of the ARRL Handbook. And all the different antenna books. I mean, you can just get, you know, I wonder what would it be, what would amateur radio or the amateur radio world be like if the league weren't there? You know, I mean, I've thought about that an awful lot, and I think that really ought to encourage a lot of folks to make sure that they are a member and that they do participate, because it's a fantastic thing that the league does.
Well, thank you very much.
And we appreciate all the hard work that you folks get. Go ahead.
Christine, Ted, I like the color. Tell us if there's any ARRL dignitaries there other than yourself. I mean, is anybody...
Let's see. I've got Joe Karsha, the station manager. Sean Kutzko, KX9X, he's the contest branch manager. And Bill Moore in C1L, who's the DXCC desk manager.
All right. Reckon I can get my cards checked if I get them to him.
Well, just send them on. You know, he'll do what he does with them.
All righty. Thanks for letting us know who all's there, Christine.
Thank you.
To interrupt you, Ted.
No, that's quite all right. You know, I've been teasing everybody because we were up really late setting up, and I keep saying, if I don't make a whole lot of sense, it's because my brain is running QRP today. And I appreciate so much what you all are doing, and thank you for calling in. And be sure if you're up and about tonight, call in, because we have it's a whole different target area tonight. Different people will be listening, and you may have some interesting stories to tell about what's happened today.
We'll see what we can do.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Newington, Connecticut. See, we've worked Baghdad. We've worked Newington here. We're having more fun than the law allows.
And we send out, you send out QSL cards, don't you?
Yes.
Tell about that. You may have some first-time listeners.
Well, yes, we have the QSO QSL card. That's a little hard to say. I never thought about it that way. The QSO QSL card. I did it. Yeah. And you can get those. Just jump up on the website, tedrandall.com, and shoot us an email. Be happy to send you a QSL card. And, of course, the TW Antenna Company's got this contest going where it's I Work Dave. If you can work Dave on the TW 2010, you get a certificate. And
Dave's a QRT behind me right now. He's got a lot of barbecue and beans and potato salad, and he's been a QRT for about the last 40 minutes, Dave. But he'll be back on the band probably in about another 20, 30 minutes, so maybe somebody can work him.
Yeah, that I Work Dave contest is cool because you get a certificate from the TW Antenna Company, and then we're going to put everybody's name in a hat and have a drawing, but we haven't yet determined what that... We've never firmed this up with what was the grand prize going to be. How is that going to work?
We're leaning toward an 80-20. It depends on how long we run the contest. It may just be the 2010 and all the accessories, but... if we run it probably another 30 days, we'll probably give away the 80-20. We may give them a choice, Ted. They can either take the 80-20 or the 2010, but that's where we're leaning.
There you go. We're broadcasting live. This is Field Day 2008, and we're on WBCQ. And once again, thank you to Al Wiener and all the folks at WBCQ for helping us make this happen. We have a caller on the line here. Hello there. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Wayne?
Yes, this is Wayne.
And you're located where, Wayne?
I'm calling from El Dorado Park in Southern California. The name of our radio club is the Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach. And for your listeners out there with an internet connection or computer, they can Google search ARALB and learn about our club. This is the club that usually operates from the Queen Mary W6RO or W6 Radio Oscar.
Okay.
It's a nice sunny day in Southern California. We have Morse code stations. We have a laser demonstration station. We've got a station here that operates on 10 gigahertz. That's 10,000 megahertz or 10 gigahertz. I'm trying to look at the map here to see how many different states we've contacted over the last few minutes. Let's see. All over Southern and Central and Northern California, Oregon, a couple of provinces in Canada, as well as Montana, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia. We're still trying to capture the East Coast a little bit farther, but hopefully that'll happen soon.
We've got, it sounds like a storm brewing up here. I'm hearing crackling in my headphones. If we disappear, you'll know what happened here. So, okay, tell us about your organization. Your Think of that.
It's a Morse code station we have back here in the background. Here.
Yeah, we hear that CQ come in real loud and clear here. Tell us a little bit about your club altogether, what y'all do and how many members, how long you've been at this.
Yes, actually, once again, this is our club. The club station call sign is W6RO. It's the Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach, and I'm actually going to find one of the club officers here, and he can tell you about the history of the club. Hang on one second. This is Michael, W6MJF. Michael, tell the shortwave audience there a little bit of the club and what we do here at W6RO.
Who am I speaking to? This is the radio station. Right, what's the guy's name? Hi, this is Michael, W6MJF. Who am I speaking with?
What's the guy's name? I'm Ted, Michael, and I've also got another Michael here with me who is with the TW Antenna Company. And welcome aboard, and hope you're having a good field day.
Oh, it's great. Mild weather and good crowds, so we're doing very well today.
Well, tell us about your organization. I'm curious as to how long you've been an organization, how many members you've got, and a little bit about all what you do.
Well, this is Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach, ARALB, and we can be found at ARALB.org on the Internet. And let's see, a little bit about us. We've been out for about 81, 82 years as an organization and have been involved in emergency backup communications to the police and fire department, as well as every aspect of our hobby for all of those 80 years.
My goodness. I mean, you folks go back to the very beginnings of amateur radio.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we've got a picture of some of our folks who participated in the relief efforts for the 1933 earthquake that we suffered here in Long Beach. There were ARALB hams working the relief centers, so our people have been doing emergency communication for a long time.
Well, that's incredible.
I was wondering what the oldest member, who have you got the oldest member there in the club, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years?
Our oldest member is probably our greatest member, and that is Nate Brightman, N6OSC. He is still is the manager of W6RO, which is our flagship station on board the Queen Mary. And that's our club station. So if you are a ham radio operator and you'd like to operate the Queen Mary, we can set up a schedule for you. If you got a ham radio license, you operate with the...
Well, that's it for this week's QSO. We want to thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week, same time, same station, right here on 7415 kilohertz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gay the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land and of the free and the home of the